to the Corinthians, chapter 2. How blessed to have our hearts and our consciences searched by the Word of God and the ministry of it in regard to spiritual renewal. One's thoughts turn to the Corinthian believers to whom the Apostle Paul wrote long ago. And in chapter 2, we would like to begin reading at verse 14, if you please, reading down into chapter 3 through verse 4. Paul writing by the Holy Spirit to say, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, though he himself may be discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye carnal and walk as men? While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" May God bless the reading and the hearing of this portion from his precious and his holy word. I'm confident that gathered together as we are on this occasion, and the Spirit of God ministering to our hearts, we have been searched within relative to the spiritual state of things that may be prevailing in our hearts and in our lives. It's a very strange fact that when you read the Word of God and look for the word spiritual, you do not find it in the Old Testament. Neither do you find it in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Neither do you find the word in the Gospel, whether Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. The word spiritual never occurs in the Scriptures until after Pentecost. On that blessed occasion when the Spirit of God came down to the earth and began his ministry following the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the glorification of our Savior in heaven above, where he is now. We certainly know from the Word of God this is the age of the Holy Spirit. And it is a particular age when spirituality should be manifested and emphasized in the hearts of all who know the Lord. The scripture portion that we have read, Paul writing to the Corinthians, is often a reminder of the days of old when Israel passed through the wilderness and had their difficulties, their ups and downs, their failures, their shortcomings, their disobedience, and even their sins. And how they had to be brought by God's power through his word back again to himself as he endeavored to restore them. Likewise, in the case of the Corinthian church, there were difficult problems. There was a spiritual state of things that was very unpleasant to the mind and the heart of God. And the beloved apostle writes for the correction of those things, seeking to bring the Corinthian believers from a carnal state to a spiritual condition. We'd like you to note with me that on the scriptures that we have read, God divides by his Spirit the whole human race into three categories. Note with me in chapter 2 and verse 14 where we began our reading, he refers to one that is called the natural man. Then in chapter 2 and verse 15, the apostle refers to another whom he calls the spiritual man. Then in chapter 3 verse 1 and even down in verse 3 and also verse 4, he refers to another class which is a carnal man. The natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. Now these are the classifications that God gives to the human race on one particular basis. And it is on the basis of their spiritual condition before Him, and relating particularly to their knowledge and their enjoyment of the things of God. In every class, the category is based upon what they knew of God and what they knew concerning the things of God. Look first of all with me at the natural man, of whom we read in verse 14 of chapter 2. God saying by the Spirit, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Who and what is this natural one? The natural man. 'Tis very evident, conclusively, he is devoid, or she may be devoid, of the knowledge of God through the new birth and through the fact they have not been born again by the Spirit of God, nor indwelt by Him. In other words, they know not Christ as their Savior. Now that natural man may be perfectly lovely in character, or maybe the opposite. He may be religious, may be irreligious. Whatever the character may be concerning his natural condition, he knows nothing of the things of God, and neither can he discern them, because without the presence of the Spirit of God, he can never learn them. He needs to be born again. His attitude toward the gospel of God's grace and the death of the Son of God may be likened, as in chapter 1 Paul writes of some who declare that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. May I pause for just a moment, pointing out that the natural man does not receive, will not believe the message of the cross. He receives not the message of the cross. He considers salvation entirely and only by the meritorious and the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary as being, to his mind, foolishness. But Paul also added in that same verse, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. So when God classifies the natural man, it is on the ground that he or she knows nothing of the Savior as their own Savior, of the things of God relative to salvation and the truth of God. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Then think with me for just a few moments of the carnal believer. For the other two categories, they relate to Christians. There are carnal believers, of whom the apostle relates in chapter 3, and there are also spiritual believers, of whom he refers in chapter 2, verse 15. The carnal believer, the word means fleshly, worldly, one who, though a Christian, cannot be recognized as such because of his and her walk and conduct, but walking as one in this world instead of being walking as one who knows the Savior. Note what the apostle writes concerning them. First of all, in chapter 3 and verse 1, very specially does he say they were his brethren. Note the opening words, I, brethren, could not speak unto you. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He acknowledged them as being his brethren. But then he describes the character and conduct of such. First of all, He classifies them as being carnal, because they were babes in Christ. They were infants in the Christian testimony. But may I particularly refer to the fact they were not newborn babes in Christ. They were men and women who had not spiritually grown. The development of their spiritual life had been neglected. And he classifies them as babes because when he would have liked to have fed them with food and spiritual diet that was of a stronger character, he had to give them milk rather than meat. Peter, writing in his epistle, 1 Epistle chapter 2 and verse 2, makes a reference to those who were newborn babes, those who had just come into the family of God. As newborn babes, desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. A newborn Christian needs the milk of the word. Strong meat would be too much for the spiritual appetite and diet to digest. But the simplicity and the sincerity of the milk of the word would be satisfactory to develop until the appetite is stronger and the believer is stronger to take in the greater truths of the word of God. But when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they should have been stronger. The development of their spiritual life had not taken place properly. They were still babes in Christ. May I just raise a simple question? How long have you been a Christian? How many months, how many years, as the case may be, have you known the Lord as your Savior? How has the spiritual growth of your life developed since then? It is a question for all of us to realize and to recognize that it is the purpose of God. Let me quote Peter again from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. How Peter was constantly concerned about the growth, the development, the spiritual development of a believer. When he writes saying, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ." And unfortunately, spiritual growth can be and often may be neglected in the life of a child of God. When a boy in the country of England, I recall that many times as we walked to school, there were occasions when we changed our path of direction to the school just out of habit. We like to go different ways. But in one particular way that we traveled, we often saw sitting in a high chair a youngster in front of a certain home, the child looking to be about 10, maybe not more than 12 months of age. And yet that child was 21 years of age. A physical defect had arrested the development of the physical body. But to have a child 21 years of age and to be no more than an infant would be very sad for any family to possess. And what a trial. I wonder what God thinks of his children. I wonder how much you and I have grown. Our spiritual growth, and even our spiritual renewal, as our brother has been bringing before us the truth of it, is very important. And Paul writes of the carnal man, he or she is still a babe in Christ. Furthermore, another characteristic that follows is this. He goes on to say in verse 3, whereas there is among you envying, a wrong attitude toward another. And second, it goes further into manifesting strife. And further, it develops until there is division. And the marks of carnality can be evidenced by these facts. when envying, when strife, and when division take place amongst the people of God. I'm sure that we can rightly say this is not the ideal that God desires, but the ideal that God wants is spiritual. And in chapter 2 and verse 15, we have the ideal man that God desires to see. He that is spiritual. And of that one he declares, he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet though he himself is discerned or judged of no man, perhaps not understood, but he understands the things of God. The standard of the measurement and the classification is what he or she knows about God and the things of God. And how important it is to realize spiritually it is the things of God that he desires we should know and understand and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me raise the question. What is the spiritual man's education? How is he educated in his spiritual development? Look with me in the chapter before us in the second, and quickly follow down with me, beginning, if I may read, beginning at verse 7. Paul writing to say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, not the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul refers to the spiritual knowledge as being the wisdom not of man, not of the world, but the wisdom which is of God. And the joy of recognizing the source of the spiritual education for the believer is God. The wisdom that comes from God. How important to realize that. The emphasis our brother has placed upon us tonight. God saying, my presence shall go with thee. It is the knowledge of him that is the source of the spiritual wisdom and knowledge that the spiritual man and the spiritual person receive. The wisdom of God. Let me again categorize it. 'Tis never the wisdom of this world. Go down the chapter as we read in verse 9. Paul gives the proof of it. And he quotes from an Old Testament scripture the words of Isaiah the prophet. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Long ago, perhaps 800 or more years before, Isaiah had written these words. And in the revelation of the Old Testament, even the Old Testament prophets in their writings could never conceive of all that God had for his people in the knowledge of himself that he would reveal. I had not seen it, he had not heard it, heart had not entered into it, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. But now note verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now may I emphasize, as we suggested at the commencement, you do not have the word spiritual until you come into your New Testament epistles, where the development and the complete revelation of God's truth has been given to us. The Old Testament was not the completion of God's truth, and it is complemented and completed in the New Testament. It was the beloved Apostle Paul that stated that he had completed the Word of God. Now by that he meant that God's Word in its revelation of truth was completed through the ministry of the apostles. Through the ministry, if I better should say, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who would come down to the earth. Can I remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke in John 16 concerning the Spirit of God coming to the earth? When he shall come, he shall guide you into all truth, giving the authority to his apostles for their writings which we now have. And now by the Spirit, the things of God are revealed. Can I repeat that again? Don't mysticize the ninth verse, as many times it is done, by trying to say it's an impossibility to describe the glories of heaven. I do not think it refers even to the glories of heaven, but rather to the contrast that the Old Testament was not a full revelation of the Word of God, but now by the Spirit, God hath revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. Now here we come. The wisdom of God is the source of the spiritual man's knowledge. The Spirit of God is the channel, he is unquestionably the vehicle through whom God conveys his truth to the believer. In other words, the divine teacher. Know what the beloved apostle writes concerning the Spirit of God. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the depths of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now note the context that follows. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now may I make a very clear qualification, necessary, that every one of us who may be believers in the Lord Jesus, we are dependent upon the Spirit of God entirely for the obtaining and the receiving of the knowledge of the things of God. May I say it very kindly? It matters not where you may go to seek that knowledge, or whether you may not go elsewhere to seek it, but by seeking and searching the Scriptures under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, he alone is able to impart the things of God to the believer. I remember Donald Barnhouse many years ago had a little interesting article in his magazine Eternity, or I think it was the older magazine called Revelation at that time. There was a young school teacher who every summer went back to university to further her education on the behalf of her teaching. But then one year, one winter season at home, she came into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as her own personal Savior. She found the Savior for her own, received him as her own, and as a Christian she began to read properly and desiringly the Word of God, to know more of the teachings of the Word of God. When going back to the school in the next summer, she began to talk to many of the associates with whom she was affiliated about the things of God that she had found a new interest in. Many of them had never heard of such things. One old professor took her aside on one occasion and he said, "My dear young lady, since we saw you last year at the school, where have you been? Who has been your teacher? You were talking to us about things we never heard of before." She looked at him with a bright smile and said, "Sir, I have a new teacher. A teacher with a capital T. The Spirit of God." And she confessed and testified to her salvation. How Christ had become her Savior. The Word of God was the revelation of divine truth. And from the Scriptures, by the Spirit of God daily, as she read and studied, she was learning of the things the natural man knew nothing about. What a teacher. My beloved brother and sister, may I say, if you have Christ as your Savior, you've got the same teacher, the Spirit of God. There is no question of doubt when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to spiritual renewal, you cannot leave out the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We are dependent upon Him. And as Paul properly writes, the things of God knoweth no man. Now may I again infer, you'll not find the things of God in secular writings, as you do find them in the Word of God. May I quote 2 Timothy 3 verse 16? All Scripture, every Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for conviction, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Oh, may I reemphasize, for spiritual renewal, for spiritual development, we are dependent upon two things. First, the Word of God, in which the things of God are revealed. Second, the divine teacher, the Holy Spirit. Note the words of Paul as we read in verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Will you note the purpose of the Spirit of God being given to you? For upon believing, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the purpose of that Spirit is that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. May I put it in this way? The spiritual development and the spiritual education of a believer. Now listen carefully. The tuition is free. Praise the Lord. Costs something to send a boy to college these days, doesn't it? Or a girl. But the spiritual education for a believer is free. And best of all, you've got a university. It's the University of the Bible. You have 66 classrooms in it. And you have the same teacher in every classroom. Praise the Lord for the same teacher. The Holy Spirit. He knows everything. I remember when my daughter first went to school up north as a child. One night at supper table, my wife said, Gladys, she said, how do you like your teacher? She answered, oh, my teacher's dumb. Well, we both looked at her surprisingly and said, Gladys, why do you say that? Well, she said, Mama, she's trying to teach me to play. I know how to play. I want to read. I want to write. Well, you can understand her mind, and that was her ambition. Oh, beloved, look. Can I repeat it again? May I say it kindly but firmly? Whatever may be your spiritual condition, whatever it is, good or bad, you're to blame for it yourself. Either you're letting the Spirit of God teach you or you're not. But the Spirit of God has been given to us freely that we might know the things which be of God. Let me just give a quotation from Matthew Henry's commentary that he once wrote. And regarding this 12th verse, and it was a searching commentary to my heart when I read the words when they were shown to me by another brother. And these words were written, at the judgment bar of God, we shall be called to give an account of all that we knew and what we did with it, But also we shall be called to give an account of what we might have known, but did not. That searched my heart when I read those words. How long have you been a Christian? How much do you know about the Word of God? How much do you know about the things of God? The Spirit of God has been given for that purpose. And he that is spiritual, he discerns them. By the Spirit, he seeks to know the things of God from day to day and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may I say a word about the natural man before closing? And particularly to impress the fact that this natural man can be converted into a spiritual one. We made the statement, he can be a lovely person. Maybe just the opposite. He may be religious. Let me give you an example quickly. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was a master in the teaching of the scribes and of the Jews in his day. But he came to the Lord Jesus and stood before him as much as to say, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. And then he waited. The custom was this. As a pious Jew recognizing a good teacher, he waited for the latest revelation. And he was surprised and shocked when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Shocked Nicodemus. He was a good Jew. He was a religious Jew. He was a master. He had his master's degree in Israel. And yet as you read the conversation, the Lord had to chide him. Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things of which the Lord was speaking? And when Nicodemus was told you must be born again, he raised the question, how? How? And first of all, he reads it with a natural mind, a natural way of thinking. How can a man be born again? Must he enter his mother's womb the second time and be born? No, the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus began to talk to the master, mind to mind. Reason, rationalize. How can a man be born again? And then the Lord Jesus had to bring him down to reason with his heart and talk to him directly to his heart. How can a man be born again, Nicodemus? Listen, you know that old story in the Old Testament? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is how. My beloved, are you a natural person? Have you never been born again? Nicodemus was told how, and you can be told how. Here is the Savior saying, you must be born again. And here he is declaring, I must be lifted up. And lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry, as we often sing regarding his death upon the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, that is how. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is how, should not perish but have everlasting life. My beloved, if this is actually the anniversary of our Lord's crucifixion, it is the reminder that only by his death upon the cross can you and I ever be born again and then know what it is to be spiritual possessed by the Spirit of God, and then by God's grace to have a spiritual development in your heart and in your life. And may we raise the question as we close, which one are you? The natural, the carnal, or the spiritual? If your category is in the first two, may God by His Spirit, through the word given tonight, bring every one of us to the ideal classification, spiritual, for His name's sake. Amen.